Hello there, Dennis Prager with Fireside Chat number 8,263.
333.
333?
Yes.
Oh, that's dramatic. Mm-hmm. Just think of this. When we do another 333, it'll be 666. That's got biblical significance. Goodbye, Snoopy. I don't know if you caught Snoopy, but he was here for a few seconds. One day, God willing, Mr. Tubbs will take his post-auto position in the bed behind me. Hello, y'all. Chance to share with you thoughts about life and then take your questions. Here's a thought about life. My wife, very recently, in fact, in the last week, had a serious surgery. Thank God it went as well as a surgery could go. We're all very grateful. And it was at a private clinic, which cost a fair amount of money. And the only reason I mention that is to make a point, or to make the point that I want to make, that the surgeons and all those involved are handpicked to be among the best in America at what they do. The surgeon, the plastic surgeon, and the anesthesiologist, and whoever else is involved. So I knew the surgeon, and I knew the plastic surgeon, because there was reconstruction involved, given that it was for breast cancer, which, as I said, I'm happy to tell you, all is good. So I said to my wife afterwards, and I said, I never met the anesthesiologist, and I knew they were all female, because it's a female, basically, breast clinic in Southern California. And my wife said, oh, yeah, I met her. And in the course of the conversation, mentioned that it was a black woman. Now, let's be real. I mean, first of all, I don't meet many anesthesiologists to begin with, but the first picture in my mind of an anesthesiologist isn't a black woman. To be honest, it isn't even a woman. Every anesthesiologist I had for my surgeries was a man. Why am I raising this? My assumption, as soon as I heard who the anesthesiologist was, she must be terrific. And why did I think that? Because she was hired by this clinic, which only hires the best. That's why they're successful, and they could stay basically independent while they do take some, I assume on occasion, some government insurance or other insurance. It's by and large out of pocket that you pay and get phenomenal results. This is really important. I have opposed affirmative action, race-based affirmative action, all of my life. And I have opposed it from the beginning for the exact same reason I still oppose it. There is a secondary reason that it's just not fair to people who work very hard and then don't get in because they're of the wrong race, as it were. But I have always said blacks, and this goes back a long time, blacks deserve collectively affirmative action, given how much affirmative action was in fact applied against blacks in American history. However, that blacks collectively may deserve it doesn't mean it is good for black Americans or any group to have any affirmative action. And my reason has always been the same, and it is 100% valid, if one could say that about one's own reason. The moment race-based or any other basis of affirmative action, anything other than merit, is used to hire people, people will assume when they meet that person, they didn't get hired because they're great. It is so humiliating to be thought of as having gotten where you got, not because you're excellent, but because of some immutable characteristic like skin color. Okay. People who advocate affirmative action based on a race or sex or any other immutable characteristic, either they don't think clearly, which is almost definitional, or they don't care about the harm they are doing because they have some other motive in mind, political power, because, for example, hey, I'm for affirmative action, vote for me. And so women and racial minorities might think, oh, you're terrific, you're on our side. They're not on your side. That's the point. Anyone who is for affirmative action is not on your side. You are being hurt by it. United Airlines, the CEO, is one of the most destructive men in America. He is almost crazed on this matter. He says that half of the positions in the United Airlines flight school will be reserved for women and people of color. Now, how will people start looking at United pilots? I fly virtually every week of the year. I have flown with black pilots, with women pilots, with you name it. And I couldn't care less. I sleep through takeoff no matter who's my pilot. Because I assume if you're in that cockpit, flight deck, if you will, you really know what you're doing. I assume that you were hired because you're excellent, not because you're female, not because you're black, but because you're excellent. Now I won't. I'm telling you in advance, on United Airlines, starting a few years from now, I will not assume that if you are a woman or a black, you were hired because you're excellent. You might have been, but I will not make that assumption. Because the United Airlines CEO has announced it is no longer merit only. He has announced it. Let us take my wife's example again. Let us say that this clinic had announced, this breast cancer clinic had announced, we have affirmative action for those who are involved in the surgery on the women who come to us, for women and for people of color. You think I would have supported my wife going to this clinic? There would be no chance in hell we would have gone and used that clinic. But again, her anesthesiologist, and that you should know how important anesthesiologists are to surgery, was a black woman. It made no difference, which is the whole point. This is another example of where people, either thinking they're doing good, do harm because they don't ask what is the result of my motive. All I care of is I think I'm doing good, or they don't really care about doing good. They care about feeling good. It is a completely destructive idea, affirmative action, based on race or any other immutable trait. And that was what I thought about when I thought about my wife's anesthesiologist. Okay, time for the video question. Thank you. Okay, take it away, my friend.
Hey, Dennis, it's Brendan from Ohio. My question for you is, why has exercise become a partisan issue, and how do we convince young people to become more active regardless of political affiliation?
So, needless to say, as you folks would imagine, I, right before the, hold that for a moment if you would, right before the fireside chat, I take a look at what the video question is, so I formulate some thoughts. This was new to me. The idea, let me read exactly what he, because we have it written as well. Why has exercise become a partisan issue? I did not know that it was a partisan issue, to be honest. But when I thought about it, I did realize that looking good is a partisan issue. And I'd like to explain, at least offer you my theory as to why. For example, if you speak about fat acceptance, right? This was a big thing. It's part of the reason there's no longer any more Sports Illustrated magazine. It's only online now. They shot themselves in the foot. The vast majority of people who want to see swimsuit models don't want to see quite overweight women in bathing suits. By the way, I've never been a fan of the super thin model either, and there was a reason for that. It was the prominence of gay males in the fashion industry. But this notion that, oh, let's do affirmative action for fat women in bathing suits. Listen, I'm not thin, so I'm not exactly an exemplar of this, although I work out and I eat very carefully. This is the way nature or God built me, but I do really, really take care of myself. Three times a week, serious workout. I eat no sugar. I watch my calories, etc. But anyway, putting me aside, the fat acceptance notion was a left-wing notion. And the reason is that I'm trying to choose my words here because the last thing I want to do is hurt the feelings of some overweight person watching or listening. That's not my intention. My intention is to protect truth, not to hurt anyone's feelings. But to deny that people prefer to look at people who are fit than people who are fat is to live in a make-believe world, and there is no way you can change their minds. That is the way we're structured because we tend toward the beautiful, whether it is in art or architecture or bodies. But there has been a movement, forgetting human beings, there has been a movement of affirming that there is no beauty, truth, beauty, goodness. That should be the aim of all education. The left doesn't believe in any of those three. It has substituted completely other categories, colonizers, powerful, rich, race. But truth, beauty, and goodness are opposed by the left. And beauty is one of them. There is very little beautiful art in the last 100 years. There's anti-beauty. There's ugly. I have often spoken about the poop exhibit in the Netherlands. You can look it up. You should look it up. New York Times had a long review, serious review, about sculpted doo-doo, poop, fecal matter. I mean, then... Now you could just go to San Francisco, but then you would go to this Netherlands museum. It was giant sculpted poop. Much architecture compared to the 19th century is so ugly. It's like ugly is in. Because the left is the anti-truth, beauty, goodness movement.
I have to show you the latest example.
Of what? Sculpted poop?
Something beautiful that the left thinks is beautiful, modern art.
The rotating mud art piece sold for $8.2 million to an anonymous buyer. That's it?
That's it. So he just...
Can the folks watching see
I'll
it?
I'll put it up.
You'll put it up?
There.
$8.2 million? Why didn't I think of that?
And it
Nathan.
Through his face.
Nathan, yeah. I'm disappointed in you. Nathan, $8.2 million and neither of us thought about it. A rotating mud piece. By the way, I have to say the rotating mud piece is not nearly as ugly as much of the art in any museum of contemporary art. I got to tell you, the art in the hotels that I stay at, I stay at a hotel almost every week of the year, and some interior designer has decided that putting up a beautiful painting is so boring, is so not with it. And so I get instead globs of paint on a canvas. And that's why nobody steals it. Maybe that's the trick. It just occurred to me. I may have explained why there's so much junk up in hotels. Who's going to steal it? So the same holds for bodies. We don't want to argue in any possible way that any body is better looking than another body. That was like with art, like with architecture, like with music. The point is to deny the beautiful. And that's my answer to your question. That's a big part of what is happening. All right, the Prager United member question. We need some fanfare. You know, we need trumpets or drums or something. So, which reminds me to tell you that the Fireside Chat is sponsored by the people who become Prager United members. First, my deep thanks to you. And second, my invitation to all of you to go to PragerUnited.com and see how you too can help make this thrive and all the benefits that you get being a Prager United member. So the first question is from a Prager United member, Sarah, 39 in New York. Hi, Dennis. Hi, Sarah. There is a big wave of younger conservatives having a strong desire to move away from the city, homestead, buy chickens, and be more self-sufficient. I remember in the past you have noted the difference between cities versus the country and references to the Bible. I'd love your general thoughts on this movement and to hear a little more insight on what the Bible says about cities. So, yes, all of my life I have realized, since I grew up in the biggest city in America, New York City, the people there were not particularly warm and friendly. There are wonderful people in every city and every town. There are awful people in every city and every town. I know that. Of course, that's true. But in general, people in New York City were not like people, let us say, in Duluth, Minnesota. And Duluth is not tiny. Duluth is a big city. Pittsburgh, even. Interesting that I pointed out, you should read it, of course, in my Bible commentary, The Rational Bible, in my volume on Genesis. Everybody heard of the Tower of Babel, but people don't realize every time the Tower of Babel is mentioned, it is mentioned in conjunction with the city next to it. The Bible understood cities as morally problematic. Most of the bad ideas of the modern age have come from big cities. The problem with big cities is there are many. One of them is anonymity. When you're known, which you are in a small town, it's harder to act bad because you get a reputation. But where you're anonymous, which is the big city, and people like that, they like the anonymity. But it comes with a price. As for starting your own farm and raising your own chickens, that's the other extreme. If you want to do that, more power to you. I have no issue with that. I have no argument against it. If you will be happy doing that, I don't know. I had a farm, so to speak. I had chickens, I had goats, I had horses for a number of years. But I wasn't remote. It was area that was, as it were, dedicated to people having a third of an acre to have whatever they wanted, like animals. Okie dokes. Christian, 21, Launceston, Tasmania. Tasmania, for those of you who don't know, is an island that is part of Australia to the south of Australia. South of Melbourne. Australia and New Zealand are fellow Western liberal democracies. However, it seems at times we are ignored or forgotten about by the more populous Western nations. As a result, it seems as though the left, taking advantage of the good-hearted nature of Aussies and Kiwis, is using it as a petri dish for the rollout of their destructive policies. I never thought of that, as evidenced by COVID. Why do you think that Australia and New Zealand tend to be forgotten about by the major Western powers? Okay, so there are two separate issues. I'm not sure you're a petri dish. The United States was a petri dish. The UK, talking about English language countries, Canada? Which country is devolving, getting worse at a faster pace? Australia, New Zealand, or Canada? It's a tough call, gotta say. It's very sad to say. So the other question you pose, I want to address, but you are not a petri dish. Many countries were petri dishes. As I wrote in 2020, the lockdowns were a dress rehearsal for a police state. And I still believe that. Why are you ignored relative to other Western democracies? Because you're so far away. That's it. That's the out of sight, out of mind sort of thing. But the truth is, certainly Australia, during World War II, its contribution to the Allied war effort was profound and known to just about everybody. New Zealand made a contribution, but obviously New Zealand was a much smaller population even than Australia. But it is sad that, as you call it, a petri dish effect has been taking place there. You would think it would be a petri dish for beautiful values, given that it is in its own part of the world. Low battery. I'm going into low power mode. Mm-hmm. Osama, 39, Chicago, Illinois. Hello, Mr. Prager. I am Osama, originally from Iraq, living in the U.S. since 2009, and I am proudly a U.S. citizen. I love listening to you. You inspire me to become an even better human being. Great. That's all I want to do. My question is, I lived in both worlds, Middle East and West. I cannot understand why every religion thinks they are the right one. All big religions, thank you. Wow, that's a fun question for me. I love the subject. Well, let's be honest. It would be pretty odd for any religion to say, we're not the right one. You would wonder, why would anybody want to be part of a religion that announced we're not the right one? I have no problem with, I don't care if 50 religions said they were all the right one. It's fine with me. My problem is with a religion thinking it is the right one and therefore thinking it can force others to accept that religion. That's bad. If you're the right one, be persuasive. Don't say convert or the sword. And by the way, in Islam, which you came from, that is the ideal. Ibn Khaldun, the greatest Arab Muslim writer who ever lived, putting aside Muhammad and the Quran, the greatest was Ibn Khaldun in the Middle Ages. He is regarded by Western sources as one of the great writers in history. He wrote the Muqaddimah, which the introduction to history, and in it he wrote, unlike Jews and Christians, the other Abrahamic or monotheistic religions, we Muslims believe in forcing people to convert through jihad, holy war. They don't believe you should force people to convert, but we do. Okay, that's bad. I mean, But if you believe you are the right religion. Now, interestingly, having said that, my Dennis Prager's definition of right religion is different from most. My definition of right religion is that which produces good and God-centered people. One of my favorite lines from the New Testament is, faith without works is dead. In other words, if you claim to have faith, but it's not exemplified by how much good you do on this planet, then your faith is essentially worthless. Not essentially, it is worthless. That's why I don't walk around saying Judaism is the true religion. I believe in Judaism. I believe it is true. But there are people who practice Judaism who do an awful job. There are people who practice Christianity who do a great job. It's not my faith, Christianity, but it doesn't matter. People who take the Old and New Testament seriously and become a kinder, finer human being as a result, I don't walk around thinking, oh, that's a false religion. No, these are not terms that animate me. But I don't have a problem with people thinking that their religion is the right faith, as I began my answer. What else are they going to think? We're the wrong faith? So it's true about everything. I mean, it's true about secular ideology. Don't people who believe in feminism think that's the right doctrine? Don't people who believe in capitalism think that's the best economic doctrine? Don't people who believe in socialism think that's the best political economic doctrine? Why would you believe in anything that you didn't think was the best? Okay, I think we're good. Thank God they still go fast. Dennis Prager, see you next week. The Fireside Chat is made possible thanks to the members of Prager United. So if you like the Fireside Chat, please consider joining Prager United at PragerUnited.com.